Well, hello, everybody. It has been so long since we have all sat down to talk about sports. But my goodness, I am very excited to be back after a large layoff. Sam, how are you?
Anything been happening? Anything new?
Not much.
All right, good show. We'll see you guys. See you guys next month.
We're done. Later. I do have to say right off the bat that you'll have to, everybody listening, you'll have to excuse the
allergies.
Yeah, the sniffling and the potential nose blow from time to time. There's nothing I can do about it. I've been getting absolutely hammered by my allergies. And I'm doing my best to control them, but at the moment, they're controlling me. So I apologize, but there's nothing I can do about it.
Yeah, around the office, it's just this time of year, but there's just so many sneezing and sniffling and blowing noses. I guess I just noticed it today, but you are not alone, my friend.
Yeah, it's bad. I mean, I've got a nasal spray on board. I've got Zyrtec. I've got bee pollen on board. I just everything. And it's really not helping all that much. I gotta say, it's not doing much for me. But
welcome back. Didn't you say Chico was worse for allergies?
Chico is worse because of all the agriculture that they have up there. But I do think because I've been living up there for so long that I'm kind of getting reacclimated to Roseville and Sac. So there's a little bit of that going on. So hopefully over the next couple weeks it'll go away. But as for now, I have to sleep with a tissue in my nose at night, so that's fun.
Yeah, I'm sure it looks pretty good. So let's get to this NBA stuff, huh? Or are we going draft?
Where are we going? I was gonna say we should probably start with the draft, only because the farther away we move into May, the farther away the draft is going to get. So we should probably start there and then kind of continue to the NBA playoffs. Obviously, the NFL draft happened very, very recently. It would be the last weekend as of recording this podcast. We're doing it on Monday, the 29th. I feel like for the most part, it went relatively how everybody was kind of expecting, I believe. I know there was a lot of talk pre-draft about there being way more trades than what actually happened. But I think the actual people and kind of the positions that they got drafted in were relatively all expected for the most. I would say the top was pretty much, I guess, chalk. Everybody who we kind of expected. Caleb Williams went first. Not a shock there. Jane Daniels went second. Not a shock there. I know that 3 was kind of the point where people thought maybe there could be some movement. There were talk about the Giants moving up to get Drake May. That didn't happen. But the player himself was obviously drafted where everybody thought he was kind of going to get drafted, irregardless of the team. People thought maybe Arizona would trade back. They didn't. They got Marvin Harrison. 5, the weirdest, among everything, the weirdest thing that I heard, and I heard this on the Rich Eisen show, apparently there was like a 13-1 bet, which is not great odds, that the Chargers were going to draft J.J. McCarthy.
Oof.
Which I remember listening to Rich Eisen just kind of lose his mind on that for a little bit. Like, that was the most ridiculous thing of anything that was happening this weekend. But they end up drafting Joe Alt, which makes sense with their new head coach. 6 is, I think, where the first, like, major decision came into play, because it was the whole idea of, okay, the New York Giants could take a quarterback. That could be Penix or McCarthy or Nix. So are they going to do that, or are they going to go with a wide receiver? And they ended up going with the wide receiver route. They got Malik Nabers, who there were a lot of people on the NFL draft coverage who were saying that they actually liked Malik Nabers more than Marvin Harrison. But it was really 8. 8 was the pick that kind of threw everybody for a loop, and that was the Michael Penix Jr. Pick. That was the one where everybody, that was the head scratcher, not necessarily because of the player, but because of the team and the situation that they had going on around them. And then Roma Dunze went 9, J.J. McCarthy went 10. So that was your top 10, and the last quarterback drafted was Bo Nix at 12. So all of the main quarterbacks that we thought were going to get drafted in the first round, they're all gone by 12. One of them has gone to the Atlanta Falcons, and one of them did not go to the New York Giants. So there's a lot going on in this first round, Sam. You can start wherever you'd like. On any of the teams or any of the picks or any of the talking points of what was, I guess, a fairly straightforward top 12 of the NFL draft.
Yeah, I know you touched on it a little bit there, but I think the fact – it's weird to think that Marvin Harrison Jr. going and being the first wide receiver taken and that being considered a shock is kind of contradictory because it seems like – his whole college career, he has been slated as the best wide receiver product of his class and his year. But this whole summer, it's been Malik Nabers, Malik Nabers, Malik Nabers. And when Arizona actually went out and got Harrison, I was surprised. I think he has earned that distinction of being the first wide receiver taken in this draft. I think he... all he has done in his college career is just been delivered time and time again. The production is off the charts with, granted, great quarterback play in Justin Fields and C.J. Stroud, but even what he did last year with some pretty up-and-down quarterback play in Ohio State, it didn't really minimize his production and his impact on a great a good Ohio State team. So I think Marvin Harrison going fourth – yes, surprising, yes. Deserved, I think, is also a big distinction. Nabers going at 6 for the Giants. Hopefully he is all that. But, man, they don't even have a quarterback to throw to him, which is the kind of unfortunate part. And then we get – yeah, let's just get to it, man. Penix at 8. I think there were reports and projections that seemed like – he was going to be available in the second round. Maybe Atlanta got wind, which in hindsight, I guess, is 2020 now. It's coming out that if Penix was available, the Raiders were for sure taking him.
Yep.
But in early projections, it was like Penix, Bo Nix were going to be available late first round, early second round, and that was kind of the expectations that I went in with. And it's weird that the team – that made the biggest free agent splash this offseason is also going to be the team with the biggest QB surprise pick in the draft.
Yeah, so, I mean, you said it. The Raiders were very interested in Penix, and had he been available, I believe that's who they were going to take. Hindsight, the Bo Nix to Denver, I think, makes a lot of sense. I feel like he...
too early.
Probably too early, but I feel like he wouldn't have made it to the second round.
Would the Raiders have taken him, you think?
Apparently not. I mean, Penix was the guy that they wanted.
Okay.
Had Bo Nix been the only quarterback available, I'm sure they would have taken him because he would have been the only one available and they need a guy.
Do you think it's a failure that they end up without a QB coming out of this draft?
No, because I think everybody that they drafted, I was pretty happy with. They filled a lot of needs elsewhere, and at least from what I could tell, a lot of the fans were pretty happy about the way that the draft played out. I have a couple draft grades here. I'll scroll.
Who cares about those?
Well, I mean,
no, I just. But in all seriousness, right? Like, this is a stacked QB draft. I mean, it shows, right? 6 guys go in the first 12 picks.
Mm-hmm.
That's absolutely crazy. We haven't seen that since the like Trey Lance, Justin Fields, Matt Jones, and that was like 5 of the top 15 picks. So this is absolutely crazy. The fact that the Raiders, which I guess this just goes to show, right? This wasn't their mission to get a QB in this draft, or else they would have probably pushed and we would have seen Davante Adams get dealt, like what we had been talking about the entire year, to make that draft night move to get up into, heck, nine. Like, would Chicago have entertained the fact of, like, you can get Davante Adams and you slide down to 13 potentially? Like, where they had opportunities, I'm sure, to move up. Or could they have outbid Minnesota with the Jets and gotten to 10 and had their pick of JJ or Bo Nix, right? Like, if you could have moved up to 10 to get JJ McCarthy, I think you'd take that all day of the week.
Yes, maybe they could have moved up to 10 and jumped. I don't know what they did or didn't try to do.
Well, no, yeah, no, I don't expect you to.
Right, and so it's tough because, like I said, like I know a lot of people are kind of down on the Raiders quarterback room right now, and I get it. But I've been saying all along, at least, and I try to be as because sometimes, and I'll be completely honest with you, sometimes Raider fans really piss me off with their with their take.
Speak it.
Yeah, their takes are really absurd sometimes about the team. I don't dislike Aiden O'Connell as much as everybody else does, at least from the standpoint of I thought he played well enough in a short, like a short amount of time to warrant at least a full offseason to give him a chance to earn the starting job. He was thrown into a really bad situation. I mean, the organization was going through a massive change. And you could see, like, the positive impact that it did have on the team once they got rid of Josh and they brought in AP. Like, it really shifted the whole dynamic of the team. And he was, yes, in the middle of all of that, but I think the team itself was kind of, in a way, like, healing from the damage that, like, Josh had created in that locker room. Like, I know Devontae was, like, extremely unhappy, and that totally seemed to shift the moment AP got there.
Oh my gosh.
Like, COVID-9. You all right?
I think so. Oh, water went down the wrong pipe. Sorry.
Well, I think it was allergies we were worried about, and I guess we should have been worried about choking. Are you good?
I think maybe I was just allergic to that take that you were having there. We know Aiden O'Connell isn't the guy. We know he isn't a guy.
Well, I don't think that is necessarily. I don't think you can necessarily say that yet.
He's trash. No, I can say it.
You didn't really watch the Raiders last year.
You admitted that Aiden O'Connell is bad.
I did not admit that Aiden O'Connell is bad. Again, I do think he is good enough to warrant a full offseason. And a decent look. And again, if you don't get a quarterback in this draft, you have probably the best backup in the league and a pretty average NFL starter in Gardner Minshew.
He's starting this year for sure.
I wouldn't be surprised if he ended up starting more than Aiden this year. Again, the Raiders from NFL.com, they got a B-, and then from Bleacher Report, they got a B+. I've seen a couple grades that were hovering around the B and kind of the A range. I think they addressed a lot of really key positions. They pretty much went all like non-sexy positions. They got Brock Bowers, which I know a lot of people were at least kind of scratching their head on, but I actually, the farther away that we've gotten away from that pick, the more I've actually grown to like it.
Nah, he'll be good.
Yeah, they got two offensive linemen. They got four. Well, actually, no. From the fourth round to the seventh round, they got a cornerback, a linebacker, a safety, cornerback, and they got a running back as well. They didn't draft any like super sexy positions or anything, but I feel like they addressed a lot of places of need, and they got really solid players. I mean, Brock Bowers was the nation's best tight end, and Jackson Powers Johnson, your guy from Oregon, was the nation's best center. So they did really well, I thought. So I think AP's got a plan in place. They missed out on potentially getting a quarterback this year, but that doesn't mean they won't be in a position to maybe get one next year in the draft or in free agency. So I'm really not worried at all about where they're at. Does it stink that they missed out on the guy? Yeah, sure. Especially because you heard so many pre-draft conversations about how much Jaden Daniels really wanted to go to Vegas. Like him and AP have a pre-existing relationship. He loves Antonio Pierce. And he was talking about how he would love for the Raiders to find a way to somehow get him. Mm-hmm. Obviously, that was never going to happen. But I guess what I take away from that is it does seem like players are drawn to AP in a way that I haven't really been able to say about any of the Raiders coaches over the past couple of years. I mean, he completely transformed that locker room in about a week. For the Raiders, he had one of the top draft prospects wanting to, like, vocally saying he wanted to come play for him. So I think we have a coach that can attract players. So I also think that that's something that's very nice to take away from this draft. So I'm not mad about where they ended in the draft. I'm all good with how they handled it. I know there was talk about the 49ers potentially trading Debo and Ayuk. None of that happened. How do you feel about the Niners?
I think it's still to come, man.
Which one?
I would love, you know what? Love them both. I could live in a world where Debo is no longer on the Niners.
So you would rather keep Ayuk? Why?
More durable. He had better production last season as a as a pure receiver. I think Ayuk's better. Debo as a culture piece, I think he is important for the team. But he misses so much time, man. And it's tough when you. It happened a lot last year. I think it happened. The biggest game was that Browns game, the first game that they ended up losing. They game planned for Debo to have this huge game, and then he was out in the first quarter, and it was like, oh man, we just did all that prep for this guy, and he's out, and then he missed 3 weeks from there. So it was like, oh, I wouldn't be mad. Do I think they needed to go get wide receiver in the first round? No. I don't really think that was where they were going to go. I heard a lot of O-line talk. I think cornerback has always been a position, while Kyle Shanahan has kind of been here, that they've needed to address. So they went and got a cornerback in the second round, which is good. But, oh, man, I think the fact that they went and got a wide receiver, and I don't know a lot about Ricky Pearsall out of Florida. I don't know a lot about him. Maybe he'll be great, but I think that just goes to show that they're probably more than likely preparing to live in a world without Debo and Ayuk.
All I know about him is that he had the catch of the year in college football. I don't know if you've seen it.
Man, maybe I need to.
But the one-handed snag over the middle of the field in between four players is about as impressive of a football catch as you're going to see.
I've just been having his highlights on. He actually, his game is pretty close to Debo. Mm-hmm. He's taken a lot of stuff out of the backfield. It's a lot of run after the catch stuff. So if they were to just upgrade there with a theory, he's not going to be Debo, right? Debo's an all-pro wide receiver when he's right. He's one of – he honestly is a top-5 wide receiver when he's healthy and right. So, actually, that's probably outlandish. He's a top-15 wide receiver when he's healthy and right. Mm-hmm. But if Ricky can be an immediate impact energy player right away, then I don't mind if Debo's gone. But if they get rid of Ayuk, I'm going to be kind of worried.
Right. Yeah, I don't know much about him either. I've just watched a couple of his highlights. He runs some really, really crisp routes. And you're right. He is very much run after the catch. So, I don't know. Maybe you keep them both. Maybe they both stay here. And it doesn't end up being a big fire sale of wide receivers for you guys. But
can't pay everyone. Brock's contract's coming due.
That's true. That's true.
Can we go back real quick about the Raiders, right? I think this is something that the Kings have, like, notoriously, while they were going through their Giants drought, they never did this, was just get the guy that's the best player in the draft.
Yeah.
No matter what need. And I think there was a lot of people coming out that were like, yeah, Bowers had the injury bug this year, but like, if you take away everyone's position, he's probably the best pure football player in this draft. And the Raiders were the ones that went out and got him.
Yeah, that was a pick of, okay, our plan is now out the window because Penix is gone. Now what do we do? Well, let's just take the best person available, and that was definitely Brock at that point.
And him to fall to 13, like, he's easily a top five talent.
Yeah, people were saying that I don't think there was really any expectation that he was going to still be there in the top 10. So the fact that he did fall to 13 was a bit of a surprise. And the nice thing is the more that I've done, the more reading that I've done on Bowers, again, I didn't love the pick initially. I kind of expected it. Like, I turned to my dad while we were still on the clock, and I was like, "Well, Bowers is there. We're gonna take him."
yeah.
And they did, which surprised my dad a little bit because he's sitting there. He's thinking we're gonna go defense. On paper, it probably makes sense to go defense because that's what we need. But especially because there were no defensive players taken at that point. Uh-huh. I believe. Let me double check it, but I don't believe. Yeah, there wasn't a defensive player taken until 15. So you theoretically could have gotten the best defensive player at whatever position you wanted. But again, the more reading that I've done about Brock, like, Myers is kind of an inline tight end. Like, he's going to be more on the line than on the line all the time. Brock can be kind of pushed out into, like, the slot a little bit because he is pretty damn fast. So you're going to be seeing them on the field together a lot because they're different enough from each other that they don't have to take reps away from each other. So I do think that you're going to end up seeing a lot of two tight end formations for the Raiders, which I think will be fun to watch. They're both really good. They're both really physical, and they both got great hands. So I'm excited to see what their offense looks like with Myers, Bowers, Jacoby Myers, and Devontae. I think it'll be fun.
Obviously, well, who's that running back?
So I believe, so we did draft a running back. Let me find his name real quick. I don't know. His name is Dylan Laub, I believe. He was from New Hampshire.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, look at the, like, tight end, guard, then a tackle. It's like this is going to be smash mouth Raider football.
Very much so. I believe Zamir White is still on the team. He played really well for the Raiders last year. Yeah, he still is. They have Alexander Madison too. And Amir Abdullah. I actually didn't know we had Alexander Madison, to be honest with you. I didn't know that was a thing. But that's a very good number two to have. But Zamir White played really, really well for the Raiders last year when Jacobs was injured. So I'm perfectly fine with Zamir being our running back. I think he easily could be like an 800 or 1,000 yard running back with because he can catch out of the backfield, which is really nice. He's not too dissimilar from Josh. It'll be – I think they'll be fine in the running back room. It's just going to be a question of quarterback. I don't know who's going to start. I think the assumption is that Gardner's going to start unless Aiden can take it from him. So we'll see how it goes. But with the Bowers thing, the farther I've gotten away from it, the more I like the pick just because I've read a little bit more about Bowers. He's not exactly the same as Myers. They're fairly different from each other in terms of play style. So they don't have to steal reps from each other. And I like the idea of running two tight ends. I think it'll be a lot of fun. And plus they shored up their offensive line a little bit more. So I think they'll be all right. I don't know how they're going to do, obviously. They were second in their division last year. They were kind of fighting for a playoff spot once AP took over the team. So it'll be really cool to see how they do with a full year and a full offseason with AP. So
big winners for me.
The Bears.
The Bears, obviously. They got QB of the future. I think people are nitpicking him way too much, looking into what he did way too much. We just got to remember this dude's extremely talented. So Caleb Williams, a QB, who is what automatically the best quarterback they've had since Jay Cutler, probably, and should surpass him pretty easily. And then they get Roma Dunze, who is in a far third best wide receiver in this draft. So completely amazing there. The Chiefs, man, sneaking in and getting the fastest guy in the draft.
I was going to say, is anybody surprised?
Well, it's just weird that Buffalo lets that happen and makes that trade with them. And then Buffalo goes all the way down into the second round and gets Keon Coleman, who's like, Niners, if you're looking at wide receiver, why didn't you go get Keon Coleman?
Yeah, I guess the thing for the Bills is that they must have known, they must have liked Keon Coleman enough, like, to feel comfortable making that trade and to think that nobody else was going to take him. Because I know that, which is interesting because they're, you know, Ricky was taken with the 49ers, and then Xavier Leggett was taken by the Panthers. So there were two wide receivers taken before the Bills got to Keon Coleman. So the Bills, I guess, must have liked Keon Coleman better than all of the other guys, right?
Or they liked them all.
Huh?
Or they were indifferent about them all. Maybe they liked they liked Coleman, Polk, Ricky, Leggett, all of them. They were like, well, it doesn't really matter what we get. Let's just move back and get another pick.
Yeah.
Pick for it. Carolina, kind of desperation move, not going to lie, moving into the first round like that.
Well, so I'm reading a little post-draft analysis and from ESPN, and the quote here is, there wasn't a prospect that the Panthers showed more interest in during the pre-draft process than Leggett. In need of an outside threat, Bryce Young. Leggett is an explosive yards after the catch threat that can run shorter routes into bigger gains. So apparently they loved him.
Okay.
So maybe there was a thought that he was going to go early at the beginning of the second round, and that's why they moved up. So, but I guess apparently the Panthers were starstruck.
We absolutely need him.
Who was Mr. Irrelevant this year? Jalen Key, safety, Alabama.
Uh-huh.
Well, he's not going to be leading the 49ers to a Super Bowl.
He's on the Jets. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's kind of interesting though. Now it's on the radar for sure.
I know. Apparently the 14 offensive players drafted in a row was the longest streak, offensive or defensive, in a row in NFL draft history. in any round. Rich Eisen provided that note the other day, and that's very interesting. For as long as the draft has been going on, to never have like 14 defensive players or 14 offensive players be drafted in a row like we just had, that was a really interesting stat to hear.
Yeah. Yeah, and then we knew that was going to happen. I think it was, if I remember correctly, I think it was Byron Murphy was the guy that I was hearing most that could end up in, like, the top 10. Oddly enough, Atlanta was the team that I think a lot of people highlighted that was like, oh, they're taking defense for sure.
100%. 100%. Well, again, the NFL draft is always super fun. Like, and the last thing that we need to talk about is just how electric Detroit was. Just the amount of fans that were there and just how awesome the city seemed. What a cool year for Detroit in terms of and Michigan in terms of, you know, football, between the national championship, the Lions doing as well as they have been doing, and to host the draft. Like, I think it was just a culmination of all of that, and to see everybody there and how fired up everybody was. I mean, for the people who covered the draft, I feel like every single one of them just is lauding over how much they loved the people of Detroit and how fun it was to be there with that event with all of them.
Yeah, it looked pretty. And did they set like a attendance record?
I believe so, yeah. By quite a bit too. So
okay.
I think it's in Green Bay next year, I believe is
interesting.
The next place.
You think we'll get invited?
We should. I mean, it's like Rich Eisen and then us. I don't know where our invitation was. But
I haven't been getting my mail lately.
Oh, really? I was going to say, you might want to get that fixed. All right. So, NFL draft behind us. NBA playoffs happening right now and in front of us. There's a lot to talk about. We're kind of midway through the first round, basically. And
or,
I don't know.
We're at the end if you're the Suns.
Are there any surprises for you yet? I don't feel like anything's been super, super. I guess maybe Phoenix getting swept. I anticipated Minnesota winning, but I didn't think Phoenix was going to get completely swept the way that they did.
Yeah. Yeah, you're probably right there. I think a sweep was pretty harsh, and just, yeah, Phoenix looked completely out of whack, completely outclassed. Anthony Edwards just dominating the matchup between Devin Booker and him. And you really would have thought the Suns, they had much more playoff experience and playoff pedigree than Minnesota does at this point. But it definitely didn't look like it mattered.
No, I mean, Anthony Edwards is just, I mean, he just keeps establishing himself as potentially the upcoming best player.
Yeah.
He had 40 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists. I mean, he just took over in the second half. He didn't have an amazing first half, but that closing game, he just completely shut down Phoenix.
He's like a bigger and more athletic Russell Westbrook to me. Like, they play with that same kind of energy and passion.
Yeah, and he's a better shooter.
Well, Russ could shoot. Okay, see.
Kind of. But he's averaging about 35% from the 3-point line this year. He averaged about 26 points a game, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, almost 1.5 steals, and about a half a block a game. I mean, he's a machine. He's 6'4". He's got a 6'9 wingspan. He looks like an NFL wide receiver. But not your like Tyreek Hill, like Calvin Johnson type, like DK Metcalf type wide receiver.
Yeah, he's built for sure. And I think even if there's games where he hasn't had his best offensive game, but he gives it to you on the defensive side, as really one of the best superstar defensive players. on that end. And it seems like he is, which is weird. I think the knock on him has been, especially when he was coming out, it was like, does he love basketball? Does he love to play basketball? Is he going to like put in that effort to play basketball? But he's come out and seemingly been the most competitive player.
Oh, yeah. And then on the other side of that, I didn't think I was going to say this, truthfully, but I feel like the loss of Grayson Allen in this series actually, it really hurt Phoenix. In the final game, Kevin Durant had 33, Devin Booker had 49, and nobody else on their team had more than 10 points. They really had no offensive punch outside of Kevin Durant and Devin Booker. Brad, I don't know what was going on with Bradley Beal.
Yeah.
He really had a tough game. He went 4 for 13, had 9 points. Really didn't contribute much in the way of anything offensively that game. So I don't know where you are at this point if you're the Suns. They don't have a first-round pick until 2030, I believe.
Yeah.
They're not in a good spot right now. I know that there were quotes from Kevin Durant after the game talking about how he was never fully comfortable with his position in the offense, which just
– Yep.
Maybe you were, maybe you weren't, but – I mean, if you have – you know that people are just going to come at you immediately if you say something like that after getting swept. So I'm sitting there and I'm reading that quote, and I was like, okay, fine, maybe that's true, but, man, not the right time to say it.
Yeah, Vogel's not going to be there next year, which is unfortunate for him, for sure. That team – too talented to get swept in the first round. I don't think they blow it up.
I don't think so either. I agree. I mean, this was the first full year of it happening. I don't see any reason to completely get rid of everything. I think you owe it to yourself to at least try and make everything, because you got to build the roster around them again. Though it's going to be tough because I don't know what you do. I mean, they're in cap space hell right now.
Yep, they just got to play around the edges again. I mean, they locked up Grayson Allen, and they're just kind of banking on the fact that Devin Booker and Kevin Durant, and if you get anything from Bradley Beal, like that was a pretty bad Bradley Beal year.
It was.
If they get more comfortable and are able to get the most out of each other, I think that's kind of what you're banking on.
Yeah.
I'm honestly surprised at how well the Thunder have been playing in this
opening. Just finished the Pelicans.
Huh?
I was going to say they just finished their sweep of the Pelicans as like of this recording.
Oh, they did?
Yep. They won 97-89.
Yeah. And a lot of people were picking – I know Zionless, but a lot of people were picking New Orleans to give them a fight. But I can honestly say I was overlooking the Thunder for sure in the West. I kind of felt like whoever it was, whether it be New Orleans, the Lakers, or hell, even the Kings, even the Warriors, right? It kind of seemed like all of those teams were, in my eyes, poised to take advantage of the Thunder, I think, and their youth, it kind of seemed like, but they just shut that down immediately.
Yeah. Big time. Big time. And so now you're going to get the Thunder against the Clippers or the Mavericks.
Yep.
Which that series has been super fun. They, that game the other night, the 116 to 111, where the Clippers scored 39 points in the first quarter. I watched pretty much the entire first half of that game. I missed the second half.
Okay.
But there was no way I thought the Mavericks were going to, like, make a complete comeback. I figured they would make it a little bit interesting. I can't believe they battled all the way back. But that first half, it was crazy because the Clippers were up by, like, 20, right? They go up by 20 in the – well, actually, I think they were up by, like, almost
31. 31 was their highest lead.
Yeah, they were up by 31. And so they outscore the Mavericks 39-16 in the first quarter. But then the Mavericks actually outscore the Clippers in the second quarter. So the funny thing about it was, and you had everybody on the broadcast kind of pointing out too, was that the Mavericks are down by a lot at this point. but the arena is going nuts because the shot making from the Mavericks was insane. It was basically Kyrie versus Paul George, James Harden, Terrence Mann, and Norman Powell. Like, Kyrie single-handedly at one point had scored like 9 straight points, had assisted on like the next 2 buckets, and just the level of difficulty of the shots that were falling for both teams were crazy. It was the most exciting 20-point game I had ever watched in my life. It was crazy how fun it was, and yet you're sitting there and you're like, they're still down by 25 points.
Yeah.
Like why is this so exciting for such a huge deficit? But the arena was so into it. And Luka eventually started to play much better. He didn't have a great first half. He ended with a triple-double, so not too shabby. Not too shabby from the guy that Bree said doesn't even look like he should be in the NBA.
Ooh, a little pudgy? Is that what she's getting at?
I don't know. I guess she was – not necessarily that. She was more just saying he just didn't look like an NBA basketball player. He just kind of looks like a random Joe. Which I guess he kind of does. Like, there's nothing I think that stands out about him overtly that would suggest he's one of the 5 best players in the NBA.
Well, he's injured right now. There's something going on with the knee.
Yeah, he certainly isn't moving around the way that we're used to seeing him move around.
You know what's great? So Kyrie has the amazing game, right? 40 points, 6 of 12, 3, 5 and 7, all the 7 turnovers. That's not good. Also had a minus plus minus for the game.
Yeah, so he came out and he said that he said he feels like he kind of let Kyrie down in that game. He said he needed to help him. Help him more. Yeah, so that was really cool to see after the game.
Some growth from Luka. You don't really see him take accountability.
He had a quote. He obviously this is from ESPN. I'll just read these 2 little short things. It says Doncic has dealt with stiffness and soreness in his right knee since injuring it during the first quarter of Friday's game 3 win.
Yep.
It has affected his ability to move laterally and create separation off the dribble and on his step back jumper. And then his quote was, "It's hurting, obviously, but it shouldn't be an excuse," said Doncic, who played 45 minutes Sunday. Just came out in a little sloppy. So he said, "So I got to be way better than that." So he's clearly saying that, yes, my knee's bothering me, but you know, I got to suck it up and I got to help Kyrie. Which is really cool. I mean, you'd love to see that from your superstar. And he's played really well this, I mean, for the most part, he's played really well that game.
Game one, he didn't play very well.
Well, I don't know. When was I don't know if it was the first game that they won or the second game that they won, but James Harden, Russell Westbrook, James Harden, Kawhi Leonard,
yeah,
Paul George, like 11 or 12% from the field when he was guarding him. Like, he was all over them defensively, which is, again, not something that we're used to seeing from Luka. So, like, that's some maturity in his game on the defensive end. Like, he's been playing really well. So it is a shame that his knee is bothering him. And it's tough to say he played like terribly. He had 29 points, 10 assists, and 10 rebounds. Did have a lot of turnovers and wasn't very efficient from the field, but it's tough to say that he played like really bad.
No, he played like crap, Jason. Just say it.
Okay, fine.
If I'm the Clippers, I'm pretty worried.
Yeah.
You got a great game from James Harden, which you can only ask for. Now in his career, once a series, I think twice would be expecting a lot from him. Paul George, he's great. We know it. Okay. But you shot 62% from three.
Yeah.
In this game. You got to, again, I can't stress it enough, a great game from James Harden, and you don't know when Kawhi Leonard is going to lace up his shoes again in this series.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know I really don't know what's going on with him.
It's same thing.
I know. I really don't get it. I don't understand how he's always hurt. I mean, it's so weird. For a guy who played like every single, like pretty much every single game. I know that Pop sort of invented like the load management stuff. But he was never injured. Never injured on the Spurs. He was like barely ever injured on the Raptors too. He gets to the Clippers, and I mean, he just never plays, which is so sad, because when he's at his best, he's still a top 10 player in the league.
So, we just haven't seen him in a while.
I know, it's so tough. I don't know. And but you're 100% right. I mean, the fact that they barely won on a game where they got, you know, two outstanding performances from their stars, and they had a 31-point lead that they almost blew. I mean, you're feeling great that it's tied, but I don't know.
Yeah, I think going back home too.
Yeah, you are going back home. I still think I give the Mavericks the slight edge.
What are you doing over there? Are you like clicking on something? What's going on?
Oh, I didn't realize that was catching on the mic.
It sounded like a Rubik's cube.
No, it's, I don't even know what it is. Truthfully, I'm sitting at my mother's desk at the moment.
her place of work.
Yeah, her place of work. Let's get to the Nuggets Lakers series because,
yeah, why is this? This is my favorite series.
Okay, do tell.
I don't know why. I feel like it's more competitive than it actually is. And I feel like I'm getting sucked in like everyone else in the nation, that I kind of want to see the Lakers win, but I haven't been able to admit to myself that they don't have a chance.
Right.
Oh, Jamal Murray's playing in this game.
I heard somebody say that the Lakers have actually led for more time in the series than the Nuggets have.
Like three times more.
Yeah. But the Nuggets have just been able to close these games.
Which is, I mean, that says so much, right? Like the Lakers just, there's this wall that's blocking them from, for some reason, beating this iteration of Denver.
Yeah, and for the whole Jamal Murray injury thing maybe being an issue, he's got 16 right now. He's leading the Nuggets in scoring.
It's just so, but he's taken 15 shots at half.
I was going to say, how many?
He hasn't been very efficient. He had the great, great performance in game two late in that game. But outside of that, he's been very inefficient.
Yeah, he hasn't been amazing. Anthony Davis is playing pretty well. He's got 16 great points, rebounds, two assists. LeBron is LeBron. D'Angelo's really struggled
tonight. Yeah.
Yeah, Austin Reeves is not playing great.
He's got 8 at half. I'm not mad at that.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm never going to be mad when the Lakers lose.
I'm rooting for him, man.
But why?
Because Denver's this, like, they're inevitable, right? Like, they're the team that should make it and look like they will make it. If the Lakers knocked him out in the first round, how bananas would that be for the rest of the Western Conference?
It would be. I feel like at that point, I would say Minnesota's going to go to the championship.
I mean, OKC's in a great spot.
I mean, that would be such an awesome Western Conference Finals. Minnesota and the Thunder, two, like, fairly young teams.
Yep.
I'm rooting for Minnesota just from the standpoint of I'm just rooting for Anthony Edwards. Like, he's my favorite player in the playoffs right now.
Okay.
I love watching him play.
Could you imagine if the Lakers made it to the finals?
Yeah, that would be nuts. I mean, the route that they would have to take would be crazy because
they'd obviously beat everyone.
3-0 against the Nuggets, which has never been done.
Yep.
Then you'd have to play the scorching hot Timberwolves.
Yep.
Which would be a tough series. I feel like they match up fairly well with Minnesota. The Lakers are pretty good. Yeah.
I wonder what their season series is.
And then you'd either have to get the Thunder, the Clippers, and the Mavericks. And I feel like I guess the easiest draw, weirdly enough, would probably be the Clippers.
The Thunder.
You think? I mean, we just talked about overlooking the Thunder.
Yeah, but Chet, what is he, 180 soaking wet? Anthony Davis, the way Anthony Davis is playing right now, is he not playing like a top five player in the NBA?
That's fair.
Consistently? Like, this isn't like last year, every other game AD. This is every single game. He's guarding the best player on the planet, and he's putting in on the offensive side, and he's getting 20 boards.
Yeah.
Dude's been an animal this year.
No, that's fair. That's fair. So, yeah, I mean, if the Lakers, if they find their way out of this, which I guess at this point is impossible because it's never been done. It would be, I mean, the media would just go nuts.
I'd go nuts. I'd do it.
Yeah. The media would just have a frenzy with that. Let's move over to the East real quick. The Celtics Heat, I don't think anybody really thought, I mean, obviously the Heat were able to steal one, but I feel fairly confident that Boston's going to end that. The Bucks-Pacers series has been really fun to watch. The ending of the previous game was really cool. I think we're shaping up to get a Knicks-Pacers second round, which is such an interesting matchup statistically.
Yep.
You have such a, like, a just like a, I don't know, I want to say like ground and pound team with the Knicks, and then just the flashy, super fast pace of the Pacers. And I feel like that'd be an old school matchup too. I mean, you kind of get the old school rivalry matchup of the Knicks and the 76ers, two very old NBA franchises. You kind of get the similar thing with the Knicks and the Pacers as well. I feel like that would be really cool. And then the series that nobody is talking about is the Cavaliers Magic, which is the other series that's 2-2. It's so that series has been so strange because the Cavaliers blew out the Magic in the first game. It was a 10-point game in the second game, but it wasn't all that close. And then the Magic proceed to literally like just destroy the Cavaliers the next two games. They almost won Game 3 by 40 points. And then they beat the Cavs again by like 30 in Game 4. I have absolutely no read on that series whatsoever.
Yeah, I think the tough thing with that series is I don't know if anyone believes that they are going to get past, like either team is going to get past the next round.
Right.
I think it's tough to, which I honestly think Orlando would be the more competitive team against Boston than Cleveland would, just because their defense and their length, I think, would be super interesting to see Boston play against.
Yes, I agree. I think I'd be rooting for the Magic to come out of that. Plus, like, I don't know, just get, like, it's like kind of new blood in the playoffs, right? Like, the Magic have been kind of irrelevant for a while, so to get them deep into the playoffs, I think that would be really cool. Like just having a Celtics Magic playoffs in the conference semifinals, that's really cool.
Yeah, this isn't Dwight Howard on the Magic. It's
yeah.
Like, what are we talking
about? Like, fun as it would have been to see like Giannis move on to the second round, or like Joel, like having the Knicks Pacers, like I'm gonna be locked in to the Knicks Pacers series. Like Jalen Brunson, the performance the other night, that 49-point game was just insane.
But the Pacers, I think the Knicks sweep that series.
You think the Knicks sweep the Pacers?
Are you impressed by what the Pacers are doing?
I mean, I'm not impressed.
They're beating a G League team at this point.
A G League team?
No Giannis, no Dame. I think Chris Middleton left last night's game.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you got to beat who's in front of you, you know?
Also, I think Anthony Davis had 30 points in 3 of the 4 games they played against Minnesota.
There you go. I'm gonna pull up. I'm going to go back real quick, and I'm going to see.
LeBron didn't play in 2 of them.
That's pretty... So the Pacers in February, they handled the Knicks by 15 points.
Okay.
They had a close game against the Knicks in February. They lost by 4. They beat the Knicks 140-126 on December 30th.
140.
Yeah. And they would have probably played one more time, I think. I'm trying to find it. So they – I'm sure there's another game in there that I'm missing.
Let me find it.
The quick ones that I can find, they were 2-1 against the Knicks. So, yeah, I know they did only play 3 times this year. So I have it right here. The Pacers won 2 out of 3 of those games.
Wait, what were the dates of those games again?
February 1st, February 10th, and December 30th.
Ooh, were those all before Halliburton's injury?
I think so, yeah.
Well, who cares then?
I guess at least on the East – the cool thing for me is that there's like new blood there. Orlando, if they win, which I'm hoping they do, that'll be new blood. The Pacers, same thing. This iteration of the Knicks is relatively new, so that'll be cool. Just instead of seeing like the 76ers, the Bucks, the Heat, and the Celtics like we have over the past couple of years, like having Orlando, Indiana, and New York, like that'll be fun.
Oh, I'm glad you're having fun.
I am. Are you?
Yeah. Like I said, yeah. I'm definitely more intrigued by the West.
That's fair. I mean, that's fair. Your favorite team seems to be the Lakers.
I'm a big LeBron guy.
LeBron's great. I got nothing against LeBron. Josh said he'd be willing to come back on, so we got to try to get him on next week because we know that Josh definitely hates LeBron.
Like, hates him.
Mortal enemies.
Like, oh my gosh, his just pure existence Josh can't stand.
I know, it's tough. It's really tough. With that being said, what do you think our finals matchup is going to be now that we've kind of seen everybody through 4?
Okay. We're just jumping to the finals. Let's jump into
the finals right now. We never did our predictions on the show. So just kind of seeing where we have the advantage of seeing 4 games from everybody. So what's your thought process here? What are you thinking?
Man, I would have said the Kings.
I know. Would the Kings have gotten swept by the Thunder?
No, I think Fox would have won them a game.
I agree. I don't think having watched the Thunder, I it's tough for me to say that they would have won that series, but I don't think they get swept.
The Thunder are so solid.
They are. They're very good. But the Kings played so well against them this year, and I actually think they match up fairly well. Like, I don't know why the size doesn't seem to bother the Thunder like it does the Kings, but the Thunder aren't huge, and they play pretty fast, and so do the Kings. I do feel like they could have gotten at least a game.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to bother Shea. Like, Herb Jones on Shea hasn't bothered him. Okay, that's not fair. Fox had good games against the Pelicans.
He did. I think in our play-in, I mean, the last game of the play-in, he had like 35 or something.
He was putting a lot of shots up. Yeah. I mean, he struggled in that, 10-minute stretch to start the fourth quarter that they didn't score?
Yeah.
When they needed to score? Gosh, I haven't thought about that game in so long, and now it's just flooding back. I think the big thing for the Thunder in this series is Jalen Williams. And the fact, if we just compare him quickly, if we're just thinking the Kings match up well, Jalen Williams being an option in contrast to like a Harrison Barnes.
Oh, yeah.
His athleticism, his playmaking, his ability to run the offense
when he's playing well.
Yeah. I mean, he's taking that next step. So I think he just gives that team a different level that, say, a team like the Kings can't really reach right now. And the Thunder without Zion, I think they're just kind of limited in that.
I agree.
I think Boston's making it. I'd love to see Boston, New York at some point, just to see it. I don't want to say Denver will make it, but kind of looks like it'll be like, what team gives Denver the biggest problem in the West?
Minnesota, I think.
You think?
I think so. I mean, like,
if Edwards just goes crazy.
Edwards goes crazy, and then you know, that you can throw Karl Anthony Towns, you could throw Rudy Gobert at Jokic, and Mike Conley is near and dear to my heart. I love Mike Conley.
Oh, okay.
He was a part of those. I'm sure you all remember, but he was a part of those Memphis Grizzly teams way back in the day. I freaking love Mike Conley. And Jaden, I mean, you were just talking about Williams on the Thunder. Jaden McDaniels is playing so well for the Minnesota Timberwolves. He's been extremely fun to watch. I mean, he only averaged 10 points a game this season, and then in game two he had 25, in game three he had 18, I mean game four he had 18. He's been playing so well for Minnesota, really stepped up his game. I feel like Minnesota is such a physical team, they're so big, that I could see Minnesota giving them a real trouble. Cause like, I wouldn't favor Chet against Jokic. I would give the advantage to SGA over Murray.
Okay. Yeah, definitely.
But I don't know, Denver top to bottom, I just feel like would be able to close out games against it. The Thunder are such an oddball to me, because I feel like I want to go back to saying that they're so young and they're so inexperienced, but like watching them play the past four games, they really are so good.
Yeah.
So it's tough to say that they couldn't give Denver a real run for their money, but I feel like on paper, the Timberwolves make the most sense to me just because of how big and physical they are. I feel like they match up pretty well with Denver.
Yeah, you got Towns, Gobert, Naz Reid, Edwards, McDaniels, Nikhil Alexander-Walker is a good perimeter defender. Conley, I think, undersized, but is able to run around with guys for sure. And if Edwards is giving you 31 points, which is what he's averaging in these playoffs so far, if he's giving you 30 plus, I think that team is just in a different stratosphere.
Yeah. I mean, Naz Reid is 6'9". Jaden McDaniels is also 6'9".
Dang, Naz Reid's only 6'9".
Yeah.
Huh.
Anthony Edwards, I believe, is 6'4", he's 6'4", but he's got a 6'9" wingspan. Mike Conley is the only short guy of the group. Like,
yeah.
Walker is 6'5". Like, they're a big team.
Yep.
Kyle Anderson, also coming off the bench, is also 6'9".
Yep, he's slow-mo.
Yeah, the minimum requirement for the Minnesota Timberwolves is 6'9", unless you're Mike Conley.
You got an exemption.
Yeah, so they're huge.
So Denver would go, say they beat the Lakers.
Yes.
If it stands right now, Lakers are winning. They'll go to six games. That Minnesota's just waiting after they swept the Suns, right?
Yep.
Good scenario for them. Denver has to go through Minnesota. Now we're talking they got to play OKC, or I think really this only applies, I think, if Dallas were to make it. I don't know if the Clippers would really pose a threat to Denver. It kind of depends on what Kawhi looks like. But
yeah.
I kind of just believe that if Luka, especially if, and this is a weird thing to say, but if Luka gets healthier as these playoffs goes on, maybe they beat the Thunder somehow quickly and are able to rest a little bit, and he's able to rest his knee. They're scary.
Yeah. No, I agree. If Clippers full strength are very, very scary. They just are so rarely at full strength.
Yeah, we don't know what that looks like.
Yeah, it's tough. So it's tough to count on it.
For sure. Yeah, I mean, the only thing we've seen from Kawhi has been, like, really poor play.
Yeah, which pains me.
Yeah, there's just so many landmines in the West. Like, the fact that Denver had to play the Lakers, which I think the Lakers are playing – like, again, they're playing really well in this series. Yep. They've led for the majority of these games. They coughed up game two, or, I don't know, Denver won game two. Who knows? To choose your pick there. But there hasn't really been, like, a clear blowout game, I feel like, in this series. And it's just a big slugfest for the first round of these playoffs.
I don't mean to just totally jump in, but I just saw that this was like 5 minutes ago.
Yeah.
I just watched the play. Anthony Davis appears to have suffered a shoulder injury. He did remain in the game. I'm watching the play. And it is about as run-of-the-mill as anything I've ever seen.
He just falls?
I'm failing to see. I'll send you the video real quick. But, like, I'm watching it, and I cannot tell at all what happened. Like, he just gets kind of bumped. Like, Michael Porter Jr., he kind of avoids Anthony Davis. He really doesn't even go into him. Like, there's nothing egregious or aggressive about the play, but I mean, Anthony Davis like fell to the ground holding his shoulder and is rolling on the ground. I can't tell what happened. So Bleacher Report said he remained in the game, but I if you were to tell me that he had a shoulder injury, I wouldn't be able to. That wouldn't have been my first guess. I would have thought it was like a knee injury.
That he's always on the ground.
He is always on the ground. Have you seen it? Did you get it?
No. I can look it up though.
It was very weird. It was a very, very weird play. I don't really, again, I'm trying to express to people exactly what happened. Like Michael Porter Jr., Anthony Davis is kind of backpedaling to the middle of the key. Michael Porter Jr. is kind of walking towards Anthony Davis and just kind of gives him a little nudge on his shoulder from behind. Again, not aggressive, not egregious or anything. And then Anthony Davis just goes right to the ground, writhing in pain. I mean, if it's like a non-contact injury. It's like the best way that I can put it. That's very weird. Very weird. So hopefully for the Lakers' sake, he'll be okay.
So, yeah, I mean he's playing. So many
games. Yeah. So it obviously wasn't as bad as it appeared to be.
Ah, he's good. Rub some dirt on it. He's a tough dude. Oh wait.
Yeah, I guess not. So, either way, I still think Denver's probably going to win here regardless, but I'd be down for an extended Nuggets-Lakers series because that's just turned into a fun little a fun little rivalry.
Dude, if they come back, if LeBron comes back from 3-0 against the defending champs.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
Yeah, it would be the LeBron supporters would be out in full and with plenty of reason to be.
Big time. On the other note, though, a guy that's kind of repairing his reputation a little bit in this series, Michael Porter Jr. is having a kind of under-the-radar good series.
He is. That's another guy. We were just talking about the length of Minnesota. That guy's gigantic.
He's scoring 22 in this postseason so far, which is up by 6 points from his regular season. Shooting a lot. He's shooting 44% from three.
Yeah, and they need that, right? Because
for sure.
I mean, you have Jokic and Murray, and obviously they're going to get theirs for the most part. But outside of them, like, KCP is okay, but he's not going to give you, 20 a game. Aaron Gordon from time to time can give you, like, 15. But so you really need Michael Porter Jr. to come off the bench. Not off the bench. You really need – I was looking at Reggie Jackson, who can score fairly decently. And Christian Braun can score a little bit. But you really need Michael Porter Jr. to be averaging, like, 18 to 20 a game. So yeah, I mean, he had 20 in on the 25th, and then he had 27 on the 27th game. There you go.
There you go. Efficient.
Man, and it was a double.
He's going for 29 tonight.
True. He very well may. But he had a double-double. He had 20 and 10 and then 27 and 11. So he's been playing very well. Very well. He's picking up for his brother Slack.
Hey, bet on him, folks.
I know. His brother probably took the over on him. So
can he legally bet now?
I don't know.
He's just a civilian.
I don't see why he couldn't. Yeah, I don't see why he couldn't anymore. But. Any closing thoughts or gigantic news that needs to be shared?
No. Have we talked about kind of everything here?
Go Cat.
Yeah. Yeah. Was that fun? We went to who knew minor league baseball could be that much fun?
That was honestly so fun. In truth, I was a little sad that we didn't get to sit down where our seats were. I was looking forward to watching the game from that close.
Oh, my gosh. Don't even get me started on that.
I was sitting there, and we're up there, and I was just going with wherever anybody else wanted to go, but I was like, man, like, Sam got these tickets for us. Like, let's go sit down there.
Yeah, audience, I guess a little backstory. So our good friend of the podcast, Benjamin Welker, we had this bachelor weekend planned for him, and we got to golf at a super nice golf course early Saturday, maybe a little too early in hindsight.
For everybody, yeah, everybody was tired.
Yeah, that was tough. Waking up at 5 in the morning was a little tough, but it's still fun. Had a great time, and then the cherry on top was getting to go to a Rivercats game. So I wanted it. I mean, it's special. It's a bachelor day and a bachelor night, and we got tickets that were about like 4 or 5 rows back from the field. So
yeah.
So pretty good seats, and we spent what total of 15 seconds in those seats.
I think so. Yeah. We were up in the box or the little club area, which parenthetically were great seats. I mean, they was super fun to watch from up there.
Yeah.
But I thought we were going to make our way down to those seats at least for like an inning or two.
Yeah, I did too.
Just to check it out, but everybody seemed gung ho about staying up top.
So well, like, and you know what? There was only one person that really needed it, only one person's opinion really mattered, and that was Ben. So it was like, yes, did I want to go sit down there? Yes. Did that matter? No.
No.
Right?
No.
Yeah.
Agreed.
So that was, at the end of the day, that was the most important thing, was that that he was having a good time and he wanted to be up there. And you know what? I think it all worked out.
Yeah, it was a ton of fun. I enjoyed watching the game from up there. And you're absolutely right. The only person whose opinion mattered was Ben.
Dude, imagine. We said it a lot last night because we were just being in the fact that we were in the ballpark. But the fact that major league teams are going to be playing in that ballpark.
I know.
Like, think about it. We were in the highest seats possible. Yeah. And they were a great view.
I mean, they could, if we were having a conversation, if it was quiet in the arena, I mean, in the stadium, and we were having a conversation, people on the field could hear us.
One of Ben's friends, I'm pretty sure they could hear him last night.
Oh, 100%.
which was so funny. But no, it, like, you're right there. What, we couldn't have been more than like 50 yards away from the field.
Not at all. It was crazy. I mean, it was super, again, it was a super fun. That game was electric. I mean, the funniest part about that whole night was twofold. Was one, the bet placed between Ben and another member of our group on whether or not the first inning was going to be scoreless. And then the very first pitch getting cracked for a home run. That was, you couldn't have written that any better. And then me, at the beginning of the game, just randomly choosing to clown a player on the other team. And then his first at-bat having an inside-the-park home run. I mean, you couldn't have made that stuff up. I mean, that was so funny.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's the worst. Like, the worst scenario would have been, like, 0-0 in extras. And like, oh, my gosh. But, no, we got a lot of runs, and the home team won.
Yeah, it was perfect. How was How was everybody the next morning? Because obviously I drove back with the van, which was an experience in and of itself.
Oh, was it?
Well, the window was broken, obviously.
Oh, my gosh.
So
yeah.
The window was broken, so it's down, and it's freezing outside. So I was trying to have a conversation with Bree on the phone, and I'm like screaming on the phone trying to talk to her. I'm like, I just got to call you back, sweetie. I got to go.
Yeah, it was probably pretty chilly. Yeah, it was, you know, it was good. It was good. We all were pretty tired and went to sleep. And I was pretty rocked going to work that day. I had not been home. I had not been home since 10 o'clock on Friday. Mm-hmm. And I got home at around, gosh, I want to say like 5 o'clock on Sunday.
Yeah.
So it was just a lot, but it was awesome.
Yeah, it was a really fun weekend. It was a very fun weekend. And super, super fun celebrating one of our best friends. Very much looking forward to the wedding. I think that wedding is just going to be like top notch.
Yeah. Yeah, you're more excited now.
Well, no, not that I wasn't excited, but I just
– No, you
like,
said you were not looking forward to it.
Oh, right. You're right. I was absolutely dreading everything. I can't believe –
You're going to try to ruin it. That's what you said.
Making me take off work. like, why would I want to take off work? No, but like having – like, again, like it's one of those things where we're not involved in, you know, the wedding planning process. So like – over the past couple of weeks, we got to do the bachelor party, and then we had the party at you know, Ben's parents' house. Just like I do, like just having talked to Ben and Anjali about the whole thing, and having talked to, you know, their parents, it just seems like every little aspect of this has been absolutely planned to a T. And so I just think the wedding's going to be just awesome.
Yeah, no, I'm super excited. And you know, it's really crazy because it's our first friend.
Yes,
that's getting married. So going through this bachelor, like Ben is just going. He's the guinea pig.
He
right
is.
Now, and he's going through everything. And I don't know about you, but I certainly like naturally were like, oh, like I liked this about the Bachelor Weekend, and oh, I'd probably change this about it, but different things like that. And he's kind of just kind of going through it.
Yeah, 100%. He unfortunately is doing this without having any examples from any of us to like, oh yeah, that was good, or oh yeah, that wasn't so good. Let's change that. So you're right. He is the definition of a guinea pig right now. So, but I think it's going to be awesome. So, all right. Well, super, super fun to be back. If we're not back, next weekend, it'll be because Sam and I drown in, Folsom Lake tomorrow.
Dude, don't even say that. Come on, man. it's a possibility.
It's not a possibility. We'll be fine. I will say the post triathlon podcast will be fun. Will be fun. Everybody will get an extensive look into whatever we're gonna go through in 2 weeks.
Dude, I'm not gonna go to the gym after for like a whole month. I'm not working out.
Be like, I'm done. I'm done with this crap.
I did it. What's the point?
I am getting to the point where I'm like, I just wish this was tomorrow. Like,
I don't know about that.
Like, it's looming large, and I'm like, I'm ready to do it. Like, I'm ready to just not be worrying about it anymore, and let's just get this over with.
Yeah. I wish it was actually, truthfully, I wish it was a month ago. I had so much more time a month ago.
I get that.
Like, I've had, obviously, this stuff this last weekend, and I'm actually going out of town this weekend, and then it's next weekend. I'm working every single day, and it's just like, oh my God, finding time to train is becoming very difficult.
Yeah, makes you realize that the people who do this, like,
it's impossible.
Yeah, monthly, like, just people who do like 3, 4, or 5, 6 triathlons at full time jobs.
Well, I don't know. Like, do you like? How quickly do you get out of race shape, you think?
I don't know. I'm going to try not to get out of race shape. Like, I think the biggest thing for me coming out of this was that I found that I genuinely enjoy swimming, and I've always loved being on a bike, but it was always mountain biking, but I'm actually appreciating like the distance road bikes, and I don't dread running the same way that I used to. So I think for me it was one of those things where like there's a lot of good for me that came out of this. And like I said, like I my goal is to eventually do an Ironman one day. I don't know if I'm ever going to, because the thought of running a marathon just makes me want to vomit. Every time that I run like 6 miles, I just think about there's no way that I could do 18 more of this. but I guess it's just one of those things where it's like, you know, you just kind of got to commit to it, and then eventually you'll get there, and you got no other choice but to do it. So,
I think what's the most you could run tomorrow just rolling out of bed? What do you think the most is?
Like, good breakfast, I'm doing nothing else but running.
Sure, like it's a normal day. Like you're just running until you can't.
Running until I can. And I don't have to run it at a certain time.
No, come on.
I think I could do 10. If it's the only thing that I'm doing and I'm running at a controlled pace, like I don't have to meet a certain time, I'm not going for anything, I think I could do 10 and be all right.
That was my initial mark. I was like, could I push? Because we both know exactly what 6 feels like right now. So like, could I push to 10? No, I feel like.
I say 10 with a medium amount of confidence. It's one of those things where I feel like I would get to 6. The urge to stop would be there because, you know, I've never ran anything farther than that. I feel like I'm very stubborn when it comes to that stuff. So it's like, I feel like a part of me would just be like, no, like you said you were going to do 10, like just finish it. And I feel like the way that I would go about doing it is I wouldn't give myself a choice. I would just run 5 miles in a straight line on a road and be like, yeah, well, you have to run back. So like instead of doing like a 1 mile loop and then just running past like where I'm going to stop every time, I would just have to run 5 miles out somewhere and be like, I have no other choice but to just run back. Otherwise, it's going to take me forever to get home.
Yeah, no, I get that. I get that for sure. It's just,
I feel like every time that we've gone to run, like, I feel like I've gotten much better at running, but I feel like you've been like in the same boat that I am with running. So I feel like if I could do 10, you could definitely do 10.
No, I feel good. Like I think mentally I have a pretty good outlook on running.
Yeah.
Like I keep it pretty positive.
See, I don't. But
like after we did we haven't even talked about that, but we did like a mock triathlon.
Yeah.
Essentially like a half.
What we did was a sprint, basically. I looked up the distance for a sprint triathlon. We pretty much did like a sprint.
So. Oh, well, go us. Okay, cool. Yeah. So we don't have to do the real thing then.
Yeah, exactly. Because there are sprint triathlons. Like people compete in those all the time. The distances for a sprint triathlon are they're not that crazy. I believe it's let's see here. You keep continuing your thought.
Yeah. And no one's listening to this anyway, so we're just talking here. But it's it was definitely like we did the swim, which for me was awful. For Jason, it was enlightening. We did the bike, and by did the swim, we did a portion of it. The bike we did less than half, and then for I think anticipating to do the full run, but then it was like we're not going to be able to do that for sure. So we did 4 mile run right after each other, like no breaks. I wasn't eating anything. I think you had minimal food. Ben had like a couple bars or something like that. So we're all, and I think all of us, because of differing factors, did not pack enough water. Yep. You did have water, but your water bottle broke. I only had water, like a little tiny water thing for the bike. And once I was done with that, I mean, I was toast. But with like doing the run, I don't think there was any point where I was like, oh my God, I cannot go any farther. Mentally,
right?
Like, was I tired? Sure. But then once we were getting close and got back to the cars, it was like, okay, no, I feel good. Like, I don't feel like I need to collapse right now or anything like that. It was just like, okay, no, like I'm feeling good. I can probably do it a mile. I was thinking easily I could do 8.
Yeah. No, I was having a tough time. I'm not entirely sure why it was hitting me so hard, but I was definitely having a bit of a tough time on the run. The sprint distances are 0.46 miles swimming, 12 miles biking, and 3 miles running, which we
essentially did. Yeah,
we were like 2 miles short on the bike, but we also overran on the run, so. We basically did a sprint, so.
Okay.
So congratulations, you're a triathlete.
Go us.
Go us. So, well, go us in 2 weeks. And again, that the post triathlon podcast is going to be amazing. I think it's the interesting thing about that is that we're all doing the same thing, but we're all going to have different experiences. So,
yeah.
It's going to be really fun listening to, because we got to get Ben on for that too. And I'll just sort of talk about like, well, what, how, what happened to you during the bike? Like, I didn't see you. What happened?
Yeah, I think we all had this dream when we first started. It was like, oh, we're all going to do this together, and then we're going to get, like, our partners are going to be there, and we're all going to go get lunch after, and it's going to be this whole thing. We're going to be finishing at such drastically different times.
Yeah.
That it's like we're essentially doing this alone.
You kind of are, yeah. Like, it'll be interesting to see. Like I'll definitely be keeping my eyes peeled to try to find you guys. Because if any of us can link up on the race, then I think it's going to help all of us. Like, I do think that, like if I was biking fast, because I feel like I'm probably the most confident on the bike. Ben's definitely the best on the run. I'd say I'm probably the worst out of the three of us at running, especially after having ran with you a few times now. I would probably put me last on the run. So like, if I saw you guys on the run, like, I definitely think that that would help me, as like, shit, I gotta stay with them. And I don't know where all of us are gonna end up on the swim. Like, I feel like we're all gonna
Okay, like, come on. Be honest, Jason. You know where I'm going to be at the swim.
I guess what I'm saying, like, it's okay if you finish, but, like, I don't know, like in comparison, like, where like, Ben and I are going to finish. I don't know how far, like, because Ben was swimming really well. Like, he was a pretty damn good swimmer. So he could easily beat me out of the water. I feel like I'll make up time with the bike because his bike is pretty old. Like,
it's just so funny.
It is very interesting. But I feel like if like you or Ben, or me and you, or me and Ben, or whatever combination, we're able to like find each other somehow on the run or the bike, because nobody's going to be watching each other during the swim. It's just going to be chaos out there. I think that's going to be really helpful. So
yeah, it's going to be so demoralizing. I honestly am not feeling competitive, and I'm a very competitive person. And maybe this would change on race day, but honestly, I think I've become content with the fact that I am most likely going to become last in our group, but the fact that I'd finish is enough for me.
Yeah, well, and we talked about it before, like, we're, like, my dad put it perfectly, like, we're racing to complete, not compete.
Right. So, but that could all change if somehow, miraculously, I come out of the water 5 minutes behind you guys, I make up time on the bike, pass one or two of you, and then we're on the run, and I just know if Ben is behind me before we start the run, he is clearly going to finish before I do. Yeah. And I don't know how I'll feel about that.
Yeah. Yeah. It is going to be interesting because you're right. And I'm glad you said that, because I do feel like if you or Ben are ahead of me on the run and I know there's only a mile left, I'm going to gas it to try to pass. And again, it's just going to be one of those things where, like, it's not like, I mean, when you play sports your entire life, and it's hard to explain to people who haven't, like, competed their entire life, but, like, even for stuff that literally means absolutely nothing, like who genuinely cares where everybody finishes. But, like, yeah, like, if I see Ben and we got like a 200 yards left and I have a chance to beat him, I'm going to go after him. And I would hope the same thing in return. Like if you see me on the run, which I feel like is probably realistic, I would hope that you try to run after me. And I hope that you pass me, cause then I can try to pass you. And it'll just make us all go faster. So it'll be fun. It'll be a lot of fun. We'll figure really? It out. We'll workshop some stuff swimming tomorrow.
Oh yeah, we got to figure some shit out. You come on, coach. We got to get in the workshop tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll workshop some stuff. We'll figure it out. So
we got to get in the fitting room.
We'll be good. We'll get you out of the water in 40 minutes. We're doing this swim in 40 minutes. That's the goal.
Okay.
So if you can be out of the water, because I've been looking up times, like if you can be out of the water in 40, 45 minutes, you'll be in a good spot.
Oh, I'll be flying.
Yeah, you'll be in a very good spot getting out of the water.
Right now I'm just trying to be out in sub an hour.
That's fair. That's fair. So, but we'll figure it out tomorrow. So, thank you all so much for listening. We really do appreciate it. Sorry for the delay. A lot of life stuff going on. It's a kind of a big transition period for. It was Sam first, and now it's me, with job and moving and all that other stuff. So, a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes, but we're trying to do our best to be as consistent as we can. Shouldn't have any issues being back next week. So, thank you all so.
Don't say that. Don't promise it.
Thank you all so much for listening. We really do appreciate it, and we will see you all very soon.
See you.